watching Consider This. I'm Lisa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. Yesterday was the International Day for Indigenous Peoples, with the aim this year to highlight Indigenous peoples' resilience to COVID-19. Now, Indigenous peoples are one of, if not the poorest and most marginalized groups in Malaysia, and their vulnerability has really been further compounded by the COVID-19 pandemic, affecting their access to medicines, healthcare, food, education, and their livelihoods. Now, joining us on the show tonight, we have Colin Nicholas. He's the coordinator for the Center for Orang Asli Concerns. Colin is both an activist and an academic. Good evening, Colin. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I want to begin, if I may, with the use of the term Indigenous communities. Now, I'm wondering about the use of this term, because wouldn't that also encompass and apply to all Bumiputras, including majority Malay communities? And also, Colin, I understand that there's been some debate about the terms Orang Asal and Orang Asli. Can you help explain what's at stake here?
Yes, there is a lot of confusion about the term, between the term Orang Asli and Orang Asal. When we use the term Orang Asli, we are referring specifically to the Indigenous peoples, minority Indigenous peoples of Peninsular Malaysia alone. But when we use the term Orang Asal, we are using it as a translation of the international law term Indigenous peoples. So the Orang Asal of Malaysia are the Orang Asli of Peninsular Malaysia and the native peoples of Sabah and Sarawak. Are the Malays part of, are the Malays Orang Asal as well, Indigenous peoples? Under international law definition of Indigenous peoples, one of the criteria is that they must not be, Indigenous peoples are dominated by somebody else with a dominant social structure. So we cannot say the Malays are the dominant people we cannot say that the Malays are not being dominated by any other people, no? So in that category, and also the Malays by the government have not claimed to be Indigenous peoples at the UN Forum on Indigenous Peoples.
Colin, that's interesting, because you clarified a certain point, which also goes back to the question of what is it that we want to mean by Indigenous, especially in relation to the environment, to ecological systems that are fragile. There is a link there between the two. Could you explain that for us, please?
So the Indigenous peoples are the peoples of a particular territory who have been there since time immemorial, who have been never colonized or now part of a dominant structure, but who claim that particular ecological space or geographical area as their own customary land or tanah adat. So one of the main features is that you must be Indigenous to that particular area. Your history, your culture, your identity, your language all comes from that particular area. So an Indigenous person in Penang, Indigenous person in Perak, for example, or somebody from Perak, cannot go to Sabah and say, I'm also an Orang Asal, no, therefore I have rights to your land in Sarawak. No? No, you're only Indigenous to your particular area, geographical space.
But Colin, if your identity is then tied to a certain location, what happens when Indigenous people move out of that location for jobs or for education?
No, you can move out for jobs and for other kinds of work and so on. But you cannot, if you are displaced from your territory, then it becomes a very, very critical situation for the Indigenous people, because your history, your identity, your acknowledgement as of an Indigenous person is linked to that particular area. So that is why many Orang Asal people reject resettlement, even if it's for a better place, with better facilities, with education access and health and so on, no? Because it's moving away from your homeland.
Colin, another, I think, critical issue, and this comes up in this year's commemoration of the Indigenous peoples of the world, is the question of resilience and also of the knowledge they have and resources they gather from their traditions and their relationship to the natural environment. Does that theme for this year's celebrations, does that ring true of what's happening in this country? Do you see that as applying to our situation here in Malaysia?
Yes, very much. In some countries like Brazil and Northeast India and other, in the Navajo nations in the US, they were devastated by the COVID-19 pandemic. That means once the virus entered the village, it just spread and killed many people. No? But among the Orang Asli, for example, only two so far on record have contracted the disease, no? And always from outside. And the virus has not spread to Orang Asli areas for a number of reasons. One of them is many of them are living in isolated areas. And two, they actually, cordon off the area or prevented others from entering the area during the pandemic. And this is a situation which they are very familiar with from the past. Or they retreated back into the forest to hide from the so-called virus, no? And they are only resilient because they are able to access the forest. Those orang asli who are now living in the towns, who are dependent on daily wage, no work, or who are dependent on rubber and oil palm and the price of rubber and the sale of oil palm, they were badly affected during the MCO we had, no?
Right.
So resilient.
Colin, if I may interrupt, you know, I want to touch a little bit about what you said, because the idea of the orang asli moving back to the forest being kind of blockade their villages away, you know, to lock down from this pandemic, it's kind of romanticized this myth that indigenous peoples are self-sufficient. That's not really the case, right? Because the pandemic has also impacted livelihoods in a certain respect.
That's right. So only if you had access to your traditional forest lands or you're still living in the forest, could you so-called go back to the forest and depend on it, you know, to some extent. But many orang asli, about 60% of orang asli, are no longer forest dependent. They are part of the national economy. They are in normal wage work, as many other Malaysians, or involved in the agricultural sector. So they were affected very much by the pandemic.
Colin, you know, there's a lot of talk about the ways in which human encroachment on natural environments is exposing us to, you know, to the risk of more pathogens and so on and so forth. Is there something that we can learn from indigenous communities? And in the Malaysian context, are we listening to indigenous communities as they try to articulate their sense of what's going on in the world?
Yes, I think because when they moved into the forest, the word should be retreated. But the term used in much of the media was orang asli flee into the forest as if they were running away. No, it was a mechanism which they learned from past experiences, because whenever there was an outbreak of disease in the village, the method of coping with it was to move the whole village to a new area, because they assumed that, you know, whatever was causing the deaths or illnesses was located in that area, and a way to solve it was to isolate themselves away from the source of the problem. So this was not something new. It was something they had always been practicing. So it was not fleeing away, but in a way responding to a threat. So what can people learn from them? One is obey orders, because the orang asli were the first to obey instructions of the MCO and, you know, isolation and so on, social distancing. And two, the problem which most orang asli have in some areas is that the methods asked to prevent the pandemic or prevent the spread of the virus, like washing hands and soap and water and so on, were impossible to apply, because many of them do not have clean water supply, or some even don't have decent water supply, let alone soap and so on. So many of these instructions were not applicable to orang asli because of the conditions which they've been placed into these days. Right. But yes, as a whole, working together as a community, working together to listen to advice from people who know better, they were able to, so far at least, keep the virus away.
Colin, thank you so much for speaking with us and shedding some light on this. Thank you for joining us tonight. Now we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes, so stay tuned to consider this.